there. Sheila Hummel here with New Day Dawning. Thanks for joining me for this half hour of praise and reflection. Welcome to those of you listening in from hospitals in the Northeast. We're thinking especially of you all today. And we wish you that peace of God which passes all understanding as you listen. Before we do anything else, let's open up our hearts and minds to God through this truly beautiful Gregorian chant, sung to us by Benedictine monks. While we're listening, let's picture ourselves in a really peaceful place, one known to us personally, and let's just be still and let their praise wash over us. There's a quote that accompanies this chant, and God seems to be speaking to us through it, saying, "I am bringing you into seclusion, so that I myself may form your heart according to my future plans." Sometimes a song just makes a person want to stay a little while longer in the peace and presence of God. If you feel that way just now, turn the sound down and enjoy the moment and join us later. Try to picture Jesus coming alongside to comfort you and restore you. Try and imagine what he's saying to you. Even though we may not have heard all the words of that chant there, we're left with a sense of the beauty and holiness of God, and the call to worship his majesty, to tell others all about him. And this is exactly what each of the gospel writers were trying to do when they wrote about the life of Jesus. They were recording for posterity a story that needed to be told, the story we are meant to pass on. Here's a hymn called Tell Out My Soul, with words by Timothy Dudley Smith. There's a wonderful story which you may have already heard on the same subject of spreading the word. A new abbot was appointed to a monastery and immediately set up about tightening up on discipline. He noticed that some monks had become a little lazy and were not taking their turn to preach at the Sunday service. A new rota was drawn up and every monk noticed their name on the list. Brother John, whose main duties in the monastery were in the kitchen, cleaning up and preparing meals, was filled with horror when he saw his name against one of the Sundays. He went to the abbot and asked to be excused. "If I excuse you, Brother John," he said, "others will want to be excused as well, and I cannot have that." Time passed and the dreaded Sunday arrived when Brother John's turn came. He took the lonely walk between the pews up to the pulpit. When he turned to speak, he saw a sea of upturned faces and became weak in the knees. It seemed an age until he found the courage to speak. In a voice he didn't recognise as his own, he asked, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" "No," came the reply from the congregation of monks as they all shook their heads. "Neither do I," croaked Brother John, and he rushed out of the chapel to another room. He was swiftly followed by the abbot, who declared, "That was just not good enough, Brother John. You will have to try again next week." After what seemed a very long week, Brother John again found himself nervously climbing the steps to the pulpit. He looked down at the brother monks. Some seemed to have twinkles in their eyes. And taking a very deep breath and licking his very dry lips, he asked the same question as last week. "Do you know what I'm going to say?" "Yes," they all said, nodding their heads this time. "Well then," said Brother John, "there's no need for me to tell you." Again he rushed out of the chapel, quickly followed by the abbot, who was furious. "Brother John," said the abbot, "this is simply not acceptable. I will not tolerate such behaviour. Next week you will preach, and I will not give up until your sermon is acceptable." On the third Sunday, the monks could hardly hide their smiles as Brother John made his long walk to the pulpit. He'd had a very worrying week. Again he looked down in the same sea of faces and experienced that same blankness that comes when words fail you. The only thing he could think of was the same question he'd asked the previous weeks, so he said, "Do you know what I'm going to say?" The monks were ready for him this time. With smiles on their faces, half of them said no, shaking their heads, and the other half said yes, nodding theirs. "Well then," said Brother John, brightening up for the first time in weeks, "those who know, tell those who don't know." And he walked out of the chapel with a little more confidence, it seemed. 10 minutes passed before the abbot appeared. Much to Brother John's surprise, the abbot smiled and put his arm round his shoulder and said, "What a wonderful message! That was the best sermon I've heard in years. Those who know, tell those who don't know." Was a hymn called Sing of the Lord's Goodness. Tell it out. At this time of the year, on the 18th of October, we remember St. Luke, whose two books, Gospel of Luke and Acts of the Apostles, are really two parts of one continuous history of the life and work of Jesus, from the birth of John the Baptist down to about the year AD 60. St. Luke is renowned today as one of the most accurate and most highly acclaimed historians of ancient times. He was born a Greek and a Gentile, that is, a non-Jew. And according to customs of that time, he may well have been a slave who'd been taught his profession as a doctor in order to serve the family who owned him. St. Paul, who called Luke beloved physician in one of his letters, was closely associated with Luke, and Luke journeyed with him and his travelling companions on their missionary journeys. He was with St. Paul even during his imprisonment and sufferings before his death. "Only Luke is with me," writes St. Paul in his second letter to Timothy. In his writing, Luke particularly emphasized Christ's compassion for the sinner, for the poor and the oppressed, indeed for all those who suffered. There's also a strong emphasis on the part women played in Jesus' ministry. He also stresses the importance of reaching out to the Gentiles when the message was thought to be, for some, for Jewish ears only. This next song is called In Christ Alone, which sums up what the Gospel writers thought of Jesus' birth, death and resurrection, and who they perceived Jesus to be.
In Christ alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. God flesh, fullness of God in heaven.
That was Stuart Townend singing, who wrote this song with Keith Getty. When set alongside other secular historians, Luke's work is superior, and archaeology has confirmed time and again the accuracy of his dates, the customs of the people, and the characters Luke wrote about. Taking one example, until 1961, there was no concrete archaeological evidence that Pontius Pilate, the fifth governor of Judea, ever existed. There were accounts of him, of course, not least the accounts in the Gospels, but in that summer of 1961, Italian archaeologists found a piece of limestone, a stone now known as the Pilate Stone, hidden beneath an ancient theatre, which bore Pontius Pilate's name and title. Some characters and some places mentioned by Luke hadn't been significant enough for them to be mentioned in other historical works, causing some to doubt Luke's account. But again, archaeological evidence in the last century has vindicated him. Just listen to this piece of writing where Luke fixes the dates of the beginnings of the ministry of John the Baptist by using the reigns of Roman emperors. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. Such detail. When something is true and worth telling, it's very hard to keep it silent. This was the case with Luke. At the beginning of his gospel, Luke writes to one called Theophilus and says, "Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account to you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught." Luke is here claiming to be a historian in search of truth. Let's hear this next song by Matt Redman called Louder.
There's a song that cannot be contained. There's a shout that breaks through every chain. God, we won't be silent. There's a faith that rises through the flames. There's a joy that chases the dark away. God, we won't be silent. And the greater the storm, the joy that chases the dark away. God, we won't be silent. And the greater the storm,
I really love that song by Matt Redman. Those lovely words, there's a song that cannot be contained, there's a shout that breaks through every chain, God, we won't be silent. In the set reading for today in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 2, Jesus commands 72 of his followers to go out in twos and tell the people his message and bring healing to the sick. Here it is. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, said Jesus. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. In verse 9 he tells them, heal the sick who are there, and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near you. The wolves that Jesus mentioned would come in the form of persecution, which drove Christians out into the world and news of Jesus spread. We too today cannot afford to be silent. In Acts 18, when Paul was preaching in Corinth, he received these words from God in a dream, and Luke records them. Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city. Here's a song by John Michael Talbot, Be Not Afraid.
You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety. Speak your words in foreign lands, and all will understand. You shall see the face of God and live. Be not
encourage you today that if you have a story to tell about what God has done for you or what he's doing in your life right now, tell it to someone else. Who knows what a seed once planted can achieve? Let us pray that we, like St. Luke, can tell our tale with the same vigour, enthusiasm and determination in order to bring hope and increase true faith and make this world a better place to live in. We only get one stab at it after all. A Quaker missionary called Etienne de Grelle once wrote, I shall pass this way but once. Any good that I can do or any kindness I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer it nor neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. These are the words in our final song sung by Glen Campbell. This is Sheila Hamill. Thank you for tuning in today. If you've enjoyed the programme, please tell somebody else about it. And my thanks also go to Andrew Ridgwick for his technical skills in producing this programme. Stay tuned for Martin Green and his breakfast show next. May God's blessing be upon you all as he sends you out to work and to witness freely to his glory with gratitude in your hearts. Bye for now.
I will pass this way but once. And if there's any good that I can do, let me do it now. Never pass this way again. I will see this day but once. If there's any kindness I can show, let me show it now. For I'll never see stay again. Tomorrow may be too late, my friend, to do all the good that you planned. So reach out to those who need you and lend them a helping hand. I will know this world but once. And if there's any love that I can give,